We're going to be kind of all over the place this evening in God's Word, but basically Christmas. Who's excited and ready for Christmas? I know my kids. We do like an Advent thing. I talked about it last week, even, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago. But like when I was a kid, I could open up one Christmas present on Christmas Eve. Judah's really excited. He still has his hand up. You can put it down now. You can open up one present on Christmas Eve, and so we've been doing an Advent thing where we opened up one today, and that's all the kids were talking about. Sarah didn't have anything wrapped, of course, neither do I, so we're like, we're last-minute procrastinators. Is that a fair assessment? It's not throwing shade, it's just fact, right? How many of you guys are like me and have nothing wrapped? Okay, my people, Jordan, my people. So anyways, we use Christmas as an opportunity to give gifts, right? It's obviously, it's much, much more than that. And to be extra and cheesy, it's like we know Jesus is that ultimate gift, right? That's, if you've been coming to church any length of time, we know that we celebrate the ultimate gift that was given in salvation in Jesus. And so around the holidays, we give gifts, whether it's because some of us, it's out of obligation, right? How many of you guys give out of obligation? Some people, okay, we got a couple honest people, right? How do you give? Well, I should say this. We are supposed to give out of love, right? How do you give out of love? Bunch of liars, okay? All of you guys, a bunch of liars. No, but that's really why we give, right? We give not out of obligation because we have to, but we give because we get to. And so God sent his only son, Jesus, as that gift for us because our sin has separated us from Christ. It was our sin. How many of you guys have ever told a lie before? That makes you a liar. If you guys ever stole anything, whether it's a paperclip or time from work, you're a lying thief, okay? We're doing good here. Would you guys agree that you're a lying thief? Okay, so because we're lying thieves, we need to be forgiven, right? Can you forgive yourself? No. There's a thing in secularism going around that says you just need to forgive yourself. You can't. It's impossible. That way, you need someone to forgive you. And that's why Jesus came 2,000 years ago to forgive you lying thieves, like myself, right? We are lying thieves. We need to be forgiven. That's why Jesus came. And so over the last 3 weeks, we've been leading up to today, our Christmas service. And so we've been doing this Advent service or Advent series, if you will. And today is the final week. So the first week, we talked about what it looks like to hope for something, right? Isaiah, when he was hoping for the Messiah to come in and set Israel free from their bondage that they were in. So there's this expectation, this hope that will come to pass. And then the next week, we looked at what does it look like to wait plus 700 plus years for that to actually come to pass, right? So we looked at what biblical hope looks like. Then we looked at what biblical waiting looks like. And then last week, what was last week? Can anyone tell me what we talked about last week? Was anyone paying attention? It's very disheartening. Lindley, were you in here? No. So last week, what's that? Hope. Joy. Joy to the world, right? We talked about joy and what it looks like now that the Savior has come, Jesus. We looked at Mary and Joseph, you know, Mary giving birth and them coming, and then the wise men, when they saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with joy. And what does it look like for us to have the joy of the Lord, to live these lives in victory and not live these lives in defeat? And so today, the final week of our Advent series, we're going to talk about love and Jesus being the manifestation of God's love to us. And so John 3:16, if you know it, you can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See this verse, you've quoted this verse, you've heard this verse 100+ times, if not more, right? So when we hear things over and over and over again, what can happen is we become numb to it. We become apathetic to it. We hear it and it's just like a cute verse, but then it loses its meaning in our hearts. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of break down this verse with us this morning, or for us this morning. For God so loved that what was God's response to his love for us? That he gave. And who did he give? He gave his son, Jesus. And so that's why we come to celebrate Christmas, is because of the gift that God has given us in his son, Jesus. Not because God's just a good God, but because we are sinners and we need that gift. right? That's why the gift came. Not because we're cool people, but because we're desperate, we are in desperate need. So God so loved that his response was that he gave Jesus because we needed him. So this is the gospel in this one verse. This is the good news of there being hope for us, right? That there being the waiting period is over. The hope is over, and now we can have joy in the Lord by receiving this love that God has given us. And so what should our response be as people, as human beings? What should our response be to John 3:16? Should it be something that we memorize and we know, but it doesn't really penetrate our hearts and it doesn't leave us changed? Of course not. So what should our response be? Well, if we take a page out of God's book, our response should be, for God so loved that he gave. That should be our same response, that we would love in return and that we would give of ourselves to others. So that's a hard thing to do. How many of you tend to be selfish, right? I think most of us, right? How many of you are just super self-sacrificing, self-giving people? One person, and God bless you, Sherry, and you have to be, right? You have to be. And I won't say why, but we know you have to be. But the reason that we give is because we have received, right? The reason that we can give these gifts on Christmas, right? The toys and the clothes and the money and the games and this and that. The reason we can give these things is because we have received a paycheck from work. How many of you guys have jobs or know somebody or married to someone with a job, right? You can't give unless you get, right? You can't give what you don't got. Okay, so we take that in the biblical terms is we can give love, or because God loved us, our response has to be that we give that love out to others in the form of being the hands and feet of Jesus. So what does the world need today? There are many things, but what's the one thing that the world needs today? Jesus, right? They need love. Would you agree with me that the world is spiraling out of control? We don't even know what gender is anymore. That's not a thing. We don't know what right from wrong is. It's crazy what's happening in our world, but we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be surprised. We knew that when sin entered the world, that this was just a matter of time before this was going to happen. And so what the world needs is love. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know that they are seen. They need to know that they are valued. And we are the only ones, Christians are the only ones that can truly love them, that can show Christ's love to them, that can tell them how much they're valued in Christ. We as Christians are the only ones that can do that. And so it's our responsibility. It's not something we get to do, but it's a responsibility that we have to receive God's love first, but then also to give that love out to others. So 1 John 4, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I actually have it up here on the screen. So if you don't have your Bible, you can just look up there. It says, Beloved, this is John writing to Christians, right? To a church like us. So it says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. So in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, so to be that ransom for our sins. So beloved, that's brothers, Christians, people here in this room, if God loved us, we also, our response has to be, we also ought to love one another. So we're not commanded to love one another as a tool to earn God's love. We're not commanded to love our neighbors because that way God will love us more. We're called to love because we have been loved. The natural response to Jesus saving us is that we would go out and we want to share that love with others. Would you agree that people need the hope of the gospel now, more now than ever before? So who's going to do that? Romans chapter 10 tells us that how are people going to hear unless someone is sent to them? That's you, that's me. Sometimes we're like, yeah, that's go get him, pastor. A pastor should tell somebody. A missionary should go tell somebody. You are that person. The Bible is speaking of you, of me. He's speaking of Christians. It's our responsibility to take this love that John talks about in 1 John and to give that to other people. But we can't give what we don't have. And so we have to first receive that love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love Christ, so we love God, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. I pray this over and over and over. I start almost every prayer with it or end almost every prayer with it because it actually started when I was in high school and I played football and our coach, we would pray at the end of every practice. And this is something he would pray all the time. And it just stuck with me that the fact that we love others because we were first loved, and it's not something that we just muster up and do in and of our own self, but it's something that we're able to do because we have been loved so well. So it's our responsibility as Christians first to love God and allow that love to permeate through our bodies and love other people, because the world is on a collision course with God's wrath. And the only thing that can stop God's wrath is the love of Christ penetrating the heart and saving and rescuing them. I mean, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. The only thing that separates someone who's accepted Christ and someone who hasn't, well, I just gave you the answer. I just did the only difference between a sinner and a Christian who's a sinner is that God has forgiven that person. That's it. There's no difference. I'm still a sinner. The unbeliever's still a sinner. I have received that forgiveness from Christ where an unbeliever has not yet. So if that's you and you don't know Jesus, I'll give you the opportunity later this evening to do that. Because we have to realize that we are sinners and we are in a collision course with God's wrath. And it's only Jesus that can rescue us. It's only that love, that hope that came down that can rescue us. And it's our responsibility as believers, as Christians, to love our neighbors, to love those who don't know Christ. So Jude and I, we have been, or at least I've been in the hunt, on the hunt for a while now, to find someone who can cut hair in Murfreesboro. It's tough. I come from, I've spoiled for many, many, many years getting the best haircuts around. And now here in Murfreesboro, there I've been struggling and struggling and struggling to find someone that can cut my hair. So Jude and I went to local barbershop over here, Woods Viking, and got an appointment with the owner, Aaron, actually from a recommendation. So we went over there, and Jude got his hair cut first. You see his little mullet he has right now. Loves it. And I told him to go over the mullet. Sarah wouldn't let me, but actually that's not true. But so anyways, we were sitting down, or Judah was sitting down getting his hair cut, and Aaron and I just started talking, just chatting. He's super personable, super cool. And then I got in his chair, it was my turn, and we just started talking about life. We started talking about just whatever, you know, and then he just started opening up. I don't know why. I mean, I know why now, but he just started opening up about his struggles. He just recently got out of a divorce, and he just starts sharing. He's like, I'm an open book, you know? And so he's just sharing all these things, and he was in a relationship that just ended. He was in a car accident or a motorcycle accident. He was basically bedridden for months, and he was out of work for 6 months, and the guy's just been going through it, and he starts to tear up as he's cutting my hair, and he starts just crying, and I'm like, please don't do this, you know, like, don't do this right now. I just want a haircut. I don't want a pastor. I just want to get a haircut, you know, and we just started talking, and he knows about Christ. He went to a church for a while. He was actually a part of a ministry when he was younger, with rehab of drugs and alcohol and things like that. He was helping people. And somewhere along the way, he said he just lost his way. And he just got out of a bad relationship, like I said. And he just starts to open up. And I just say, hey, man, can I pray for you? You know, I didn't like beat him over the head with a Bible. I didn't tell him, like I told you guys, you're sinners and going to hell, right? I didn't say any of that to him. I just said, hey, man, like can I pray for you? And he's like, sure. And so I just prayed for him, just put my hand on his shoulder and prayed. And that was it. No doves ascended, no heavens opened up, there wasn't a double rainbow, nothing like that. And I go on my way, and I get home that night, and he sends me a text out of the blue. He says this, hey Kyle, this is Aaron. Just wanted to let you know how much our conversation and your prayer meant to me. I won't go into detail, but it was very timely this evening. Have a great night, brother. And I text him back like, you're welcome, God loves you, God sees you. And then he texts me today. He's like, hey, I want to come. I want to come worship with you guys one Sunday. So I said, I gave him the info and stuff, but you never know how just taking the time to be present with people and loving people, how much that will change their heart and their lives. You don't know what people are going through. And if you're selfish with your time, and if you're selfish with that inclination to want to say something but not, then you are stealing something from somebody that God wants to use you to minister and to love to them. You're taking that opportunity not only away from yourself, I mean, I was very blessed by that, but also away from him. And so, guys, we cannot receive that gift that Christ has given, or that God has given us in his son Jesus, and not turn around and give it to someone else. It's unbiblical, it's ungodly, it's our responsibility to share that love with somebody. And that doesn't mean you have to put a sandwich board on, go to the street and with a megaphone. That just means sitting in the barber chair or at the grocery store or ordering a drink from Starbucks or whatever it is and just talk to people. People are desperate for that hope. They're desperate to know that they're loved, that they're seen, and we have the very answer that they need. And that is the hope of the gospel. That is Jesus Christ, that gift that was given to us from 2,000 years ago. We don't hide that. We don't put it away in our pocket. But we are supposed to use that gift, Jesus, to love one another. Amen? So God has gifted us with the ability first to be loved and then also for us to turn around and love other people. Don't waste that gift. Don't squander that gift. So I'll close with this. The Christian faith involves trusting and believing that there is a God. He's at the center of the universe, and his purpose and his plan is to love this world. And he saw that the world was so out of hand that they had turned their backs on God that he had to do something about it. So he sent his son Jesus to be that gap, to bridge that gap, between us and him. And so my question for us tonight is, what are you going to do with that gift? Are you going to use that gift? Are you going to accept that gift? And if you have accepted it, that's a big if we have accepted it, are we going to turn around and give that to somebody else? And if you haven't accepted that, what an awesome opportunity to do that right here, right now, that forever your life could be changed. Forever you could be in the presence of Jesus. So I'm going to have Todd and Brooke come on up. I'm going to close, and we're going to take communion, and we're going to worship the Lord for four more songs. And I'm going to give you guys opportunity and time to take communion, and then opportunity to maybe get right with the Lord if you're not. I don't know where your walk's at, or maybe if you have one, but I would blow an opportunity if I didn't give you that today to accept Jesus, that free gift of salvation that we all desperately need. So let me pray for us this evening. Father, we come before you, Lord, just recognizing that, at least I recognize that I'm a sinner, Lord, and I recognize that I need you, Jesus, and my family certainly recognizes that I'm a sinner, Lord, and Lord, and so I just confess, God, that I'm not perfect. I'm not even close, God, and I need you, Jesus. I pray that you would forgive me personally for my sins and help me, God, just to be a better husband, a better father, a better pastor, Lord, just a better human. Lord, I pray that love that you have given me, that I have received, God, I pray that I would be emboldened to share that with other people. I pray that same prayer for every single person in this room, God, that if they have accepted you and loved you, and that they would take that, Lord, and that they would share that with their neighbors, with their friends, with their coworkers, with the people at the grocery store or the convenience store or the coffee shop or the gym, wherever it may be. Lord, I just pray that we would take that love that you have given us seriously, God, and that we wouldn't want anyone to miss out on that. Lord, it's for anyone, God, anyone out there that doesn't know you, Jesus, I pray that you would stir in their hearts, Lord, this desire to want to get to know you. Lord, a desire to want to understand what church and what the Bible and what Jesus, what you're all about. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would be just working in this room now, Holy Spirit, God, I pray that you would just put it on our hearts, Lord, just even a name, a person, someone that we can go and share the love of Christ with this week, Lord. And so We love you, Jesus, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. So we take communion every week. So there's little buckets of communion at the end of your row. You can take it and just pass it down. So the purpose of communion is that we would take the juice, which represents Jesus' blood that was given, that was shed for us on the cross, and the little wafer, the cracker, that represents his body that was broken, that was given up for us. And so as we take that cracker and we take that juice, we remember what Christ has done for us. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, let none of you guys do this in an unworthy manner. So if you are not a believer, let me give you opportunity to first become a believer and take communion with us. If you're not a believer, the Bible says, don't take communion. Not that you're unworthy of it, but you don't. It's just an act. It's a futile act that way. You have to understand what we're doing. Communion is something that you are thanking God for the sacrifice that he has given for you personally. And so I'm going to do this. I'm gonna pause. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And I'm going to give anyone an opportunity who doesn't know Christ to take communion today by accepting Christ. So if that's you, I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you or to call you out or anything like that. It's between you and Jesus. You say something along these lines. You mean it from your heart, and you say it in your own words. Say, God, I don't even fully understand you, but I recognize that you're real. Lord, I recognize that I have done some things in my life that I'm not proud of, that I'm ashamed of, that I have sin, Lord, that has separated me from you. God, and I need you to forgive me. God, I need you to accept me as your own. God, I need you to take my sins and to wash them away. God, I believe that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and I believe that you rose again 3 days later, defeating sin, defeating Satan, defeating death. I believe those things. I don't fully understand those things, but I believe those things. So God, would you teach me those things I need to learn? God, would you help me to walk as a new creation today? God, I love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And if you prayed that prayer, you can take communion this morning or this evening. And so over the next couple songs, you just partake when you're ready. You partake on your own. Again, the juice is represented in Jesus' blood that was shed to forgive us for our sins. The body is represented in that little wafer that was broken for us. What a cool opportunity to realize that gift that came down and for us to be able to give that to others. So over the next couple songs, go ahead and partake.